being ignorant about reality because he was a daydreamer, you remember in this story. So he's disconnected from reality. And when the women suggested that go to Caliph, what was his answer?
He needs a gift to bring.
Said, I need something, I cannot go. He brought up excuses because he doesn't know what to do. Was it empty-handed? And the woman said, oh yes, empty-handedness is the best thing you have in hand. You're going to Caliph when you're praying to her. What is the best thing you include in your prayer? Your shortcomings. Your empty hand. Said, okay, your empty hand. But okay, there is a little bit of water. The droplet of water we gather is in this jar. Take it to Caliph. That's where we are now. Let's hear the rest of it. John.
How the Arab's wife sewed a jug of rainwater in a felt cloth and put a seal on it because of the Arab's utter conviction. Yes, said the husband, stop up the mouth of the jug. Take care, for this is a gift that will bring us profit. Sew this jug in felt, that the king may break his fast with our gift.
See, what? To cover it up, to put it all together, and make sure that you know the totality of whatever you know, because this is the internal knowledge, right? The droplet of knowledge from here and there you gather and you have it in this jar. You have to cover it and be careful about it. Okay.
For there is no like this in all the world. No water is so pure as this. Because they are always full of infirmity and half blind from bitter and briny waters. The bird whose dwelling place is the briny water, how shall it know where to find it in the clear water? O thou whose abode is the briny spring, how should you know the Shat and the Jehun and the Euphrates? O thou who have not escaped from this fleeting caravanserai, how should you know self-extinction, intoxication, and expansion?
Okay, these three are the three levels of enlightenment before they divided into seven. There was a three, which is Sahu, Sukro, Ma. Means a little bit out of life, then being drunk, then somehow disappear. These are the feeling of a man when he is in the route of arriving to the final destination. He counts all that and he will say, the bird who lives in the salty water. What does that mean? Remember, the bird plays the role of intelligence, thinking, thought. And you have a lot of thought which are in the salty ocean, means not drinkable water, means the knowledge that are not that good. But doesn't mean that they are bad. It's not that good. And we talked about this, salty water. Do you remember?
Well, sometimes it's tears.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, is it the two oceans that...
Exactly. He talked about these two oceans to make sure that you are not going to say, let's forget or eliminate the salt water. No. It's a salty one, it's a sweet one. They are one, but they are different. So, when we categorize the understanding and knowledge to sweet and salty, we don't mean good and bad, because you live in the salty one. The beginning is with that one. the animal intelligence will gather what? Knowledge, information. But what kind of knowledge is that? Self-preservation only, right? It starts with life itself. The sweet one is what? What is the sweet water? Is the salty one. Evaporated means the wind will blow it in the sky. Then transformation in the heaven. Then coming back to earth and running towards that salty ocean. Because that's the beginning and that's the end. But in the process, there is this sweet water, which is the real essence of life. Right? Then?
And if you know it is handed down to you from father and grandfather, to you these names are like Abjad. How plain and evident to all children are Abjad and Hawaz. And the real meaning is far away.
What is Abjad and Hawaz? All the children going to school in Arab languages, they should learn Abjad, Hawaz, Hutti, Kalaman, Safas, Karashat, Saqqiz, Zazeqna. And by this, you learn your alphabet. That's A, B, C, D. They put it in a way that it makes some forms. So you will learn A, B, C, D. Is it good or bad? It's good, lovely, but it's not knowledge. You just learn it. You learn it by its musicality. It says, okay, this is how you understand that different levels of consciousness we're talking about. You don't know what is the enlightenment. And if you know just the words. Or you just narrate it because you heard it from your father or grandfather. That's how you know it. By knowing it, I don't mean to know what it is. To feel it, to be in it, to be enlightened. And there is an enormous difference here between knowing about enlightenment and being enlightened. The difference is enormous. The first one is knowledge. Knowledge is Danish. You remember, we repeat that this is not Danish, this is Binesh. This is not knowing. This is the way you look at the universe. This is your point of view. So, you know a lot of goodness about enlightenment. If you're asked to write down an expose or something about enlightenment, maybe you could write even a book. But that doesn't mean that you're enlightened. I'm talking about that enlightenment itself. You don't know it. And you will not know it until you cut off from this part and being transformed. This is something that we'll talk later. This is one of the most difficult parts of this knowledge. Dying. You see, dying. With this dying, later you will explain by death. I don't mean not being alive. Transformation. You die from something to being revived in another thing. Like the children, they die from childhood to be a grown up. That kind of transformation, to become enlightened. Okay, I'm talking about enlightenment, and maybe you think that you know about it. I'm not talking about knowing it. I'm talking about becoming it, and you will not become that before dying from this one. To be the other one. Yes?
Then the Arab man took up the jug and set out to journey, carrying it along day and night. He was trembling for the jug in fear of fortune's mischiefs. All the same, he conveyed it from the desert to the city.
Yeah.